Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast. I'm Simona Nicole, host of the show, mindset coach, and motivational speaker. I've made it my mission to help you get unstuck, shift your mindset, and understand your worth to help you live your most purposeful life. Each week, I will bring you an idea, guest, or a positive thought that will leave you inspired and empowered to win your life. We decide the stories we tell ourselves and where we invest our energy. I'm so grateful you popped in. Now let's dive in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast. I'm very excited. I literally say this every single week. I'm so excited to bring today's guest. It's going to be so good. This conversation is going to be so awesome. And I'm really excited to introduce you to today's guest. His name is Jack McCloskey, and his journey towards becoming a coach has been an eventful one. An eventful one. So sorry about that. At university, he was very much a party man, drinking and taking drugs with any real thought to it. He then went on to working in the city in London, and pretty much doing the similar thing. He then escaped that and went traveling, to which he lived in the monks, with the monks for 5 days. And then that was a turning point into his own consciousness. After a quick stop working in Australia, he returned home and created a 6-figure e-commerce business within 9 months. Throughout this whole process, he was dipping into spirituality, the ego, and finding what his purpose is. This led him to shut down his e-commerce business, investing heavily in a mentor, and help other businesses grow by tapping into their higher self and living a more fulfilled life. Jack, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. And good pronunciation on my surname, because I know that is a little tongue twister in itself. So
I try my best because I have a very, very hard last name to pronounce, and I don't even use it in my business because people are like, what? And so I'm very Costantini.
Costantini.
Yeah, see, it's Italian. Yeah. But someone always pronounces it wrong. And I'm like, you know what? It's just so much easier. We'll just go by the middle name and call it a day.
Sure. Yeah. I can imagine when you're doing an introduction, there's a pressure on itself. And then when you get a surname, you can just get a bit flustered. Like,
Exactly. Before we dive in, I actually just wanted to ask you really quick, as I'm reading this is actually really wild because you created a six figure business and then closed it down. What did that feel like?
That is a very interesting question, because as of more recently, I realized that I hadn't got over the full grief of doing that. Mm. It's something that I do my transcendental meditation. So that's twice a day. And that process is meant to help recover the nervous system within me and the process of the grief of shutting that business down. Mm. But to be honest, the transition between me deciding to shut it down was the hardest part, because I was like, oh, but Jack, this is what you started. You've invested this much time in it. This is what your destiny is. Are you sure you don't want to do that? Like, I was so confident that this is what I was going to do. This is how I was going to make my money. But then as soon as I decided to shut it down, it was like, that was the right decision. Boom, sweet, on to the next one. So it was actually the transition period, which probably took about 2 months of me actually being like dabbling my toe in shutting it down. And then be like, oh, no, you can't do that. You spent too much time taking it 6 figures and making money. Mm-hmm. And then I dabble back into it. And I'm like, oh, no, you can't do that. Until eventually it just got to the point, look, we're going around in circles here. What do you want to do? Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. And that's where my mentor sort of reached out to me and we got chatting. And I was like, look, I'll shut it down right now if we can work together and build this performance coach business, which is where I am at the moment.
That's amazing. I think that's such a crazy part of the story too, though, because I think it's in those pivotal moments that you make your most life-changing decisions. Mm. And I think to that note, though, it's really, it's kind of empowering to hear that you had something, because a lot of the time when people are making money, the money can be the driving force behind what it is you want to do, right? So you have a 6-figure business. A lot of people would not be able to shut that down because of the fear of what comes with that, right? All of the uncertainty, 100%. All that. And I think that, you know, this is just a really great reminder that it doesn't matter how much money you make if you're not fulfilled in what you do, you're never going to be happy. Like
100%.
Just to dive right in there.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And the interesting thing about that is that I now realize I don't even value money. Like the whole point of me starting this business is one, because I've just went traveling and I wanted to travel more, but I wanted to not be locked into a job. So I was like, okay, I'll start this business, I'll go traveling. But then obviously when you dive into something, you know, the way the universe works, it might push you towards your next direction, which for me is this coaching business. But what I realized is I don't value money. So like the fact that I was sat behind a desk 12 hours a day, or whatever you want to call it, you know, looking at data, building relationships with Chinese suppliers that don't even speak English, and trying to find winning products, building websites, like that is none of my strengths. That's not none of my natural strengths, my genius zone, what I call it.
Right.
You know, so once I really dived into this new business and, you know, being on podcasts or making videos, I was like, this is way more aligned with who I am at my core, who I've always been as a child. But now it's interesting that I don't value money, but I value making an impact. And how do you make a bigger impact? You have to have money, kind of thing. You don't have to, obviously, with the Mother Teresa's, Jesus, and, you know, the enlightened sages of the world. I'm definitely not that person. But the path that I think I'm on is I want to make a lot of money to help a lot of people. Kind of. So I value impact over money.
It's true. I mean, you can give back so much more freely from there. And there's no concern about where the money is going to go or where the money is going to come from, because you know you're always going to have enough to support. And I think that, you know, a lot of the times there's a really interesting conversation around, like, you know, you have to be making a certain amount of money before you can give back or support other people. But I think supporting other people and like showing that you genuinely care and like helping people make a difference in their lives is something so small as, like, you know, a $10 donation to someone's live stream, right? To be like, hi, I believe in you. Or, you know, a $20, thank you so much for all of your help for doing this one thing. I really appreciate you. Because I think when you bring that appreciation piece back, you're empowering the person to do so much more because they feel so appreciated and encouraged. Does that make any sense?
100%. I mean, the secret to living is giving. That's what Tony Robbins says. And I think that's very, very profound. I mean, he wouldn't say if it wasn't.
No.
And I think the idea that I can now do that, I can give my knowledge and what I think my natural strengths are and lead with that, lead with my heart, lead with helping these people, that I'm making a difference and the money in itself will follow. And then with that money, I can go and make a bigger impact as well and do some cool stuff like that. So yeah.
That's very, very cool. So can you tell us a little bit about the journey that's brought you to where you are today? Before we were recording, we were talking about how you had moved and all of these different things. So I would love to dive into some more of your story.
I mean, you touched on it. I'll go, with the bio, but, you know, I was very much a party man, like Fridays, Saturdays, out till late, taking all sorts of drugs, doing up to no good, basically. And that, after uni, went into the city, was continuing that. But then I went traveling, and traveling is where I dived in, went to the monk sanctuary. And that's really, you know, I was up at 4 a.m. meditating till 6, and 6 till 7 was breakfast, meditating from 7 till 12, 12 till 1 was lunch, and meditating from 1 till 10. And throughout that whole time, you're silent anyway. So here's this like party man, done loads of drugs. And then he goes to this monk sanctuary and he's just like silent meditating for like 4 days straight. You can imagine the transition from one to the other in terms of this consciousness. So, I mean, that in itself, at the time I didn't realize, but played a massive, massive role in my next journey and my future and where I am today. Mm-hmm. Because since then, I think I was maybe meditating twice a week, and it was three times, and it was every day, and now it's twice a day. And that in itself is just going to change the trajectory of your life, because you gain more awareness and consciousness in who you truly are, what you truly want to do. Are the actions actually aligned with who you are? Are they, are you kind of being conditioned by the people around you in society and that sort of thing? Mm. I don't know if I'm going massive off topic. Sorry.
No, there's no such thing as off topic on my show.
Okay, cool. So I went to Australia. I got a job there in sales. It was similar to my job at home, but it was a bit more of a more comfortable environment. Then I realized, okay, I've done both sales in a corporate and a comfortable, probably not my thing. I'm going to go start my own business. Went home. Like I said, within 9 months, when I went home, actually, I knew that I have to get out of my house, my family house. I need to move out to a new city away from everyone and just focus on this, because this is, I really want this. So I actually moved down to the bottom of England called Brighton from London. Started this business, took it to six figures in 9 months. But then that whole time, like I said, I was meditating more. I was kind of getting more in touch with my heart after having an aspect of financial success, and started questioning things. You know, I started diving into spirituality. I started meditating even more. And I was like, can I see myself in this for 5 years? And the honest answer is now is obviously a no. But at the time, when you're in that environment of like, I put everything into this, this is where, this is the plan, this was my plan, and this is how I was going to make it work. For you to then go like, can I see yourself in 5 years? Your ego is trying to survive, or whatever we want to call it, is trying to say, yeah, you can, Jack, you can. You can see yourself here in 5 years, you can. Like, it's, but then once, like I said, once I really came to the decision, and it's in our decisions that our destiny is shaped, that I really was like, nah, this is not for me. And then I just flicked the switch and became a performance coach by investing with a mentor. And having built a business, you know, an e-com business, it just, it's very much more aligned with who I am and my strength. So that was a snip. That's my story, basically.
I love that. What exactly is a performance coach? What do you help people do?
So essentially what I do is I help people grow their businesses, and they're normally ambitious leaders, grow their businesses by getting them to tap into their higher self and start making the decisions from a base of power rather than fear. And people don't even know they're making decisions from fear if they don't have a certain level of consciousness and awareness. So it's kind of like you know, the selling point is that I help grow your business, right? Everyone wants to grow their business. But really what I dive into is like your inner world. Like, how are you functioning? What limiting beliefs do you have? Where has a childhood trauma stopped you from, you know, getting the life that you deserve, that we all deserve? And if you have the desire to earn money, then I will help you, but I'll help you by changing your inner world, which will reflect in your outer world, which is your business.
That's very, very aligned with how my business runs as well, because I feel like, you know, you can have or want all of the different things, but if you don't do the work to fix the inside, the stuff on the outside, it won't always be fulfilling. You know what I mean? Because I think that fulfillment comes from internally, you know?
100%.
Right?
100%.
What do you think is like one of the biggest reasons why people self-sabotage themselves, but then also don't give themselves the opportunity to live their most full life?
Oh, good question.
Thanks.
self-sabotage from what I see is a kind of, again, I always go back to awareness and consciousness, because the scale of it is insane. But people self-sabotage because they might be prioritizing a value that is actually not aligned with who they are authentically. Ooh. Which means that, how do you know who they are authentically? You need to ask yourself questions. You need to sit with your thoughts. You need to gain that awareness and consciousness. So like for me, the business, all I was doing was focusing on the money. No wonder I had conflict on there, because money's not a big value of mine. But as soon as I start valuing impact more and starting a performance coaching business and helping people discover who they were, is I'm focusing on the impact. I'm more aligned with that, and the money will follow. So there's no conflict. But before, because I was so focused on the money, let's use my value of impact was down here, there's going to be massive conflict because my values are out of line. So I think that's a strong reason why people self-sabotage. But the honest answer is, I don't think people realize how self-sabotaging they can be until you come out the other side and you look back and you're like, damn, I was a hella self-sabotager, if that's even a thing.
Well, I think it can absolutely is now. What was it like when you were in the monk center, like having to be quiet for that long? I've always been so curious of what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people are always, that's the one thing they're curious with. The thing about myself is that I've always been a very chilled, laid back guy. And I always, like, when I get thrown into something, I just throw myself into it without even questioning what it is. So kind of when I went there, I just was like, okay, cool, this is what I'm doing. They taught me how to meditate in different ways. And I really enjoyed it. There was something, so peaceful about it. You know, you're not looking at, you're literally, you've got no phone, you're not like making conversation with anyone, you're just sat there with your own thoughts, and it was just so peaceful. I can't explain it. It was bliss.
I love that. That sounds amazing. I love that. How could someone start to reprogram their subconscious thoughts?
Again, good question, and something that I'd like to answer. So the subconscious brain is effectively, this is how I put it, or a lot of people put it, I'm not going to take credit for it, but the subconscious brain is effectively your garden outside the back of your house. And you, your conscious brain, when your thoughts happen, you're the gardener. And depending on what you put in the soil, you know, whether that's positive or negative thoughts, will program your subconscious brain. So a great way to start is just having some positive affirmations that you go to. You know, a high frequency thought or a vibration, one from love, one from compassion, one from something like that, is so much more powerful than negative thoughts. That if you wake up and say one or two positive thoughts a day, that will counterbalance all the negative thoughts that you have. Mm-hmm. And if you're not saying any positive thoughts already, then those two additional ones are going to overweigh the balance that you already have. So I think a great way to start is just writing some positive affirmations. If you really, and you're a high performer and you really want to achieve something and you really want to start reprogramming your subconscious brain to do the law of manifestation, attraction, and that kind of thing, meditation is a must, because that in itself brings awareness to the thoughts that you're having. And then when you have the awareness to, you know, sometimes you might be out and you have a thought, it makes you anxious. And before you know it, you're like, why am I operating from a place of anxiety? When you have the awareness, you catch the thought and you go, what a strange thought to have. Like, why have I, but true, by catching it, you dissipate it and it's gone. And then you can replace it with a more empowering thought, or you don't even need to replace it. You just need to be aware of it. And then you won't absorb that energy that comes from that thought.
I love that a lot. That's a really, really great point. And to bounce off of that idea, you know, when you get yourself super centered and when you allow yourself to have different thoughts or new thoughts, how does that help visualization in terms of the manifestation process?
Well, you know, manifestation to me is two things. It's the law of attraction and the law of Goya, which is just get off your ass. Which again, it isn't mine. It's Dave Meltzer, who you should definitely follow because he's an awesome dude. But, you know, when you have loads of thoughts, let's say you have a thought of, you know, I want to create a 6-figure business, a 7-figure business. If you haven't got your own business, you probably haven't had that thought before, or not consciously. So if you start having that thought, actually, I want to have a 6-figure business, just say it once today. And then say it once tomorrow, and then say it once the next day. And eventually you might catch yourself saying it twice. And before you know it, because you're saying it so much, you'll actually start looking out for opportunities to maybe see, you might start going on Google and be like, oh, what can I actually create of a 6-figure business? And this kind of thing. And that actually, those thoughts set in motion the actions for you to get off your ass. And then by getting off your ass and taking action, you're more likely to get in a position of attracting that money back to you.
I love that. I really love that. I was listening to this thing the other day and it was like, oh my God, where was it from? I never remember where I listen to things or hear things. I need to start making better notes. But it was like a Japanese sort of law, if you will, not like political law, but like a law of like, abundance, if you will, anyway, so I don't remember what it was called, but it was like, the more you give, the more you receive. The more you appreciate money, the more it comes back. The more you appreciate anything that you have in life, the more it comes back. So if it's looking, you know, if you're wanting more kindness in your life, you know, the more you start appreciating the kindness of other people, you actually start to receive more of that, because I think that we're all mirrors for what we want to receive, or if we see something that we don't love, we see it in a mirror. You know what I mean? Then we have this opportunity in like another person. Does that make sense? And then we have this opportunity to like shift that idea of like, you know, this person is so negative and I don't like to be around them. And it's almost like when I see stuff like that, I'm like, huh, I'm like, what is that triggering in me to need to shift that to come to a different place? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
I want to quickly pause this interview and tell you about the Handel Group coaches that I've had the honor and privilege of bringing onto the Happiness Happens podcast. With every conversation and interview, I've learned something so impactful and so life-changing. Inner You Life is the online coaching course from Handel Group that gives you the tools to get yourself unstuck, wildly happy, and thriving where it matters most to you, your relationship to yourself, career, love, body, money, time, and more. From wherever, whenever. Recommended by Hugh Jackman, Dr. Mark Hyman, Forrest Whitaker, Elena Brower, and hundreds more. Taught in MIT, Stanford School of Business, and 50-plus institutes of learning across the world. Visit inneryou.coach and use the code HAPPINESSHAPPENS at checkout for $75 off. Now, back to the episode.
You know, I think the whole idea behind Law of Manifestation is, yeah, if you really, really want something, then you're implying that you don't have it, which means that it's running away from you. And I think that's a very simple way to look at it. It's like, if you're like, oh, I really need this money. There's nothing wrong with like going after money, but it's like, I really need this money. Then you're implying that you don't have it. Desperation. Yeah. So it's like, it's running, you're running after, you're chasing it. And it's running away from you, where if you're just content with the life that you have and, you know, happy and fulfilled by virtue of you operating from that place, in itself will attract more opportunities for you to go and have that money that you desire. If it is money, it might be love, it might be a relationship. Yeah,
I love that. And, you know, just sort of to bounce off of that idea, if you're wanting to attract more of all of that into your life, how could you start to shift those negative thoughts and like nip them before they start to spiral so that you can change the conversation that's happening in your mind?
Yeah. I mean, there's no magic. Like, I would love to be able to tell people,
give us the magic. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. This is the magic. Do this tomorrow. Your life's going to change. I mean, if I could do that, I would be flying high with money because I'd be fixing the whole world. But the whole point is it's like it's a constant process of gaining more consciousness and awareness, and a constant process of getting to know yourself better and your inner dialogue, and getting to know that maybe some of your script or inner dialogue is actually not even yours. It's from the way that your parents raised you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how are you ever going to discover that things without going internally into yourself? All the answers are internally for everything that you could ever want. You know, even Tony Robbins, the best at his game, the best coach in the world, the best high performance, like whatever you want to call him, whatever label you want to put on him, you know, his events are 3 days intensive. So that's like, I don't know, 40 hours. And yeah, you might leave that completely a different person because he's given you all the right tools, but that still is 40 hours that they put into that intense work. So now if you're a busy person, 9 till 5 every day, evening you're playing football, this kind of thing, then if you just do an hour to yourself and 20 minutes of journaling, 20 minutes of meditation, 20 minutes of, you know, walking and listening to a podcast every day, I mean, your life's going to change drastically. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is there's no magic formula to bettering yourself. It's a constant, it's the persistent and consistent pursuit of your potential, which is I believe a life full of fulfillment, because you'll be expanding rather than necessarily staying stagnant.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. And I think that we're all, you're a product of what you consume. So if you're 100%. Listening, right? Like if you're listening to things that are negative, you are going to attract that into your life. You know what I mean? You're creating space 100%. For what it is you want in your life by the decisions and the things that you let in. So it's like, you know, it's really interesting. If I think of my clients, for example, I used to see this like a lot in myself. Now I see it a lot in my clients too. They come to this place where they've become so in tune with who they are, okay, that they get surrounded by other things that are like negativity and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I don't even have the capability to welcome that into my life. And that is such an empowering place and position, I think, to be in, because you're allowing yourself to like not absorb all of the different energies that are around you. And you just know that your core, like at your core, who you are is not being rocked by the emotions of other people, if you will.
100%. And you're giving yourself in that scenario permission to just say no, which is, it's a no to someone else, but it's a yes to yourself. And you know, that in itself will empower you, that decision there. But 100, I mean, even this book I was reading recently, it's called Power Versus Force by a doctor called David Hawkins. And he basically gives you a scale of consciousness, you know, from the bottom being guilt and shame, like the lowest frequencies, and the top being enlightenment, you know, the Buddhas, the Jesus Christ of the world. And the way that they measure it is a very complex, a logarithmic scale, which I won't go into too much detail. One, because I don't understand it really. But he just kind of proved the point that like he could measure the difference between a powerful thought, as in one from love, a loving thought, compared to a negative one. And the difference in the one thought was incredible. I mean, even they say that if Jesus was alive now, he says on his scale, in terms of the energy that he is producing, would counterbalance all the negativity in this world today, if he was here today. And that's the power that he has absorbed just by having the most consciousness and awareness that you ever could. Now, I don't know if I completely went off topic there, but I went down a little spiral.
I think the spirals are the best conversations, because that's when you get into like the like little nitty gritty of every idea, right? I love it. I love it. How could someone, using sort of the framework of consciousness, like how can you elevate yourself to step into a higher frequency or a different frequency or vibration?
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, you touched on it magnificently before, and it's simple. It's incredible how many simple things you can do in this world to raise, like, to get the answers that you're looking for. I mean, the number one best tool, which is meditation, that's just a given, 100%. That, you know, 20 minutes a day. The Buddha has a quote saying, you know, if you're a busy person, you should meditate for an hour. If you're a super busy person, you should meditate for two.
I've heard that.
And it's like, because it just raises your vibrations, if we say that. And by raising your vibrations, you raise the success and the likelihood of success. But also other little tips that, you know, help me: get out in nature, you know, especially when you're clustered with thoughts and anxious thoughts, and oh, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, blah, 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 blah. Just go out and walk for 20 minutes and come back, and you'll see you're so much more grounded. Other ways: read books. You know, if our subconscious has 60,000 thoughts a day, 90% of them are the same as yesterday. By reading a book, you essentially add in a new thought that you've never had before. And that in itself will have a little butterfly effect for raising your vibrations. And the more that you can read and the more knowledge that you're consuming, the better it will be. And you've got to have the opportunity cost of, if you weren't reading that book, what would you be doing? Would you be reading, watching, like, Keep Up with the Kardashians, which, like, you know, no judgment if you do. I suppose it is a judgment, but that will, I promise you now, that will be lowering your vibrational frequency. So it's like small things: read books, go for walks, eat good food, food that nourishes you, exercise and meditation. If you do those five things, which, you know, I get my clients to do, and it's crazy how much it affects their lives.
And it's so simple.
So how simple is that?
But it's so, I feel like it's so simple that it's like, okay, I'll take myself as an example. I always want to try and read more books. And I'm always like, I'm so busy, I don't have time to read books. So I'm like, okay, I can't physically sit down and read them. So if I'm driving, if I'm spending 2 hours driving every day, why don't I just get an audiobook? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's always a solution to every problem that you have. And so some people will say, well, it's not a book, it's a podcast at that point. But it's also like you're learning a whole 7 hour story. So it's a little bit different than a podcast. But, you know, in every situation, there's always an opposite. Like, there's always an opportunity in every single moment, like in every single situation or moment that you're in, right? So
100%.
If you're sitting here telling yourself you can't do something, you're forever not going to be able to do it because you don't believe that you can do it, right? And like,
you tell them,
right?
Tell them, Simona.
No, you tell them. I love it. Thank you. How can we become more, you know, kind to ourselves and just more gracious with the space, like a new space that we want to create for ourselves?
Again, I think you touched on a very simple way which people struggle with, is just being kind to others. Like, I'm not joking. If you go to your local shop and you notice a person behind you, and you notice they're actually probably 10 feet away from the door, and you probably could walk out and close it, just stand there and hold it open for them and make the effort. Like, go, you know, don't just lean one arm on the back of the door and be like, here you go. Like, make a conscious effort to not even step out foot and hold the door open and go, here you go, this way. And some, that person will be like, oh, thank you, that's really kind. And it's, I like, that's so simple and so easy. But it's like, we get lost in what, you know, what I call what people call the matrix, or, you know, even just the busyness of your day-to-day lives, that we actually forget about the fact that the person that's in the shop is just, you know, probably going back to his family just like you, and is probably a very nice, genuine person that you would get along with, you just don't know.
Exactly.
And by doing these random acts of kindness, it's like, it makes you feel good, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like this, the secret to living is giving. Give kindness and you will receive it.
I love that. That's so good. I mean,
there's also, like, you've just got to start being kinder to yourself, you know. Again, awareness and consciousness, because if you come off a football pitch, let's take, or soccer, I'm not sure what you guys call it.
Soccer, but I think soccer. People understand.
I'll go with it. I'll go with soccer. You know, that's my heart. You know, if you come off a football pitch, soccer pitch, sorry.
No, football's fine.
At 60 minutes and you sit on the bench, the manager takes you off and you just say to yourself, you know, why are you so unfit? You know, why did you play so bad? Why did you give that ball away? Guess what? Your conversation with yourself and your body and your mind is going to come up with all the answers why you did all those things. But if you come off and just realize to be kind to yourself and say, you know, what can I improve on? Okay. Even that in itself, you go, okay, well, I'm tired. That's why the manager took me off. I can work on my fitness. And then your mind and body is amazing tools. They give you the answers to these questions. But if you're asking yourself these poor questions, you're going to get poor answers back. So another tip is just really look at the questions you ask yourself in these moments. And you will get the answers based on the questions that you ask.
I love that. That's really, really, really good. I like that a lot.
It's so simple, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I feel like it all comes back to this, like, basic human, like, the easiest things, the things that'll change your life the most are the most simple things that we always say we don't have time for because we're so busy at work, or we're so busy rushing from here to here, or we're so busy doing all these things. But it's like, are you busy or are you trying to just, like, make an excuse for why you're not doing something? There's a difference, right?
100%. And if it's all these limitations that we have on ourselves, you know, even what you said earlier is like, oh, I'm too busy, I can't read. And people would stop there. That's it. Can't read, too busy. Yeah,
sorry.
But I mean that you even went to, oh, I'm busy, I can't read, but I can listen to a podcast in the car for 2 hours.
Exactly.
Like, that wasn't a limitation. The whole point is that you can't read, you ain't got time to read, but it doesn't mean you can't consume knowledge in a different way or form.
That's exactly it.
But if people stop right at that first point, that, oh, I can't do that. But it's like, I'm sure if I said to you, here, I'll pay you £1,000 every week to get through a book, how many books would you read?
Oh my gosh, you'd probably be reading like 15 a day. Like, I love that. I love that. I want to jump back to something we were talking about earlier at the beginning. And I think that this part might actually be really helpful for our listeners, especially, you know, given like this time of like uncertainty, pandemic, all of these just different things. You know, you changed your life in a significant way. You know, what would you say to someone who's wanting to change their life? They're wanting to do something different, but they're fearful of what their family will say, or what their loved ones will say, or what their friends will say, and losing friends and letting people go and all of that stuff.
And it's all very interesting stuff, isn't it? I mean, because what even is that fear? Like, seriously, like, I get it with parents, and I get like their approval, and, you know, even subconsciously, you're, as a kid, you just crave the love of your parents. So I do understand it, but quite often we project the fears that we're having within ourselves onto other people. So you know, if you really want to go traveling for 6 months and you've saved the money, but you're fearful of what your dad will say because you've got a good job and you're going to have to quit, you know, if you're having that inner dialogue with yourself, you could be going like, oh, but dad's going to be so disappointed in me. Like, I've got this good job, I've worked for 4 years. You know, what am I going to do when I get back? Like, and all these projections. But you don't even have a clue what he's thinking. He might, you know, which he's never told you, really regret not going traveling. So when you come and approach to him saying, look, there's something in me really wants to go traveling. He might sit there and be like, do you know what, son? I think you should go because I didn't go and I really regret it. And then you just leave that conversation feeling lifted. You're like, shit, you're like, then I'm going to go to Thailand.
It's amazing.
But you don't that, because you're like projecting what you're feeling and your fears onto someone else. So the best thing that I can do is step into that fear, step into that conversation with that person that you want to have it with, and just have a conversation. And whether it goes as well as I just said, or as bad as you thought it would go, at least you've stepped into the fear, which in itself is a form of courage, which in itself will raise your vibrations rather than you sitting in that fear. And I always go back to vibrations and frequency, but it's very important if you want to, you know, have a fulfilled life, not even just be a high performer, but have a fulfilled life.
Yeah, it's so true. It really gets ingrained in the core of who you are.
100%.
You know, and I think those are the things that, you know, just exactly what you're saying, this whole episode, those are the things that really change your life. You know what I mean? Those are small moments. Like, not everyone wants to be a multimillionaire. Not everyone wants to be a business owner. Not everyone wants to have 10 kids. Not everyone wants to have pets. Not everyone wants to buy a house. Not everyone wants to do any, like, you know, everyone wants something different. But it's like, I think that a lot of the times all these rules can get put on, you know, what you should want or what your life should look like and all the things that you should do. And it's like, but where does that come from? Like, what's the truth for you? Right?
100%. I think, you know, something that I always say is, and I always push on my Instagram and stuff, is like, just be your authentic self. Like, there is literally one in 400 trillion chance of that egg meeting that sperm and creating you, the beautiful little you.
So true.
And do you know the madness about that is that that just takes into account the sperm and the egg. Like, what about your parents meeting at that one bar at that right time? And what about, you know, and all those other mad possibilities that come into it? It's like, you have actually been designed to be yourself with the DNA, the unique DNA that you have. Mm-hmm. So go and find out what that is, and your spark, your magic will shine. Now, I just work with people who are ambitious for a business purposes, because they have that desire. But what I'm saying to you is that you will have something which you may turn into a business based on who you are at your core. So it's so important, and I think it's so beautiful, like, how, you know, when you see someone, they've just stepped into who they are and they're grounded in who they are, you know, male or female, and it's just a beautiful thing to see, because you're like, wow, that person is really, you know, when they say they've just got something about them, and it's like, yeah, because they've stepped into them, they've gone internal and they've asked themselves these questions to find out who they are, not who their parents think they should be, not who society thinks they should be, which I've been guilty of. You know, I've been at uni, I really wanted to be this person that was a player and slept around. And I know, even saying it now, it makes my toes curl, because I'm like, it's just so toxic.
You hesitated, you're like, oh.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to say, but it's just the truth of, like, an example of how I was pushed into being a certain way based on what I thought was cool, or all this nonsense that goes around and social media nowadays. And not that I'm hating on social media, because I think it's a very powerful tool. Like you said, if you use it in the right way, it depends what you're feeding it with. But yeah.
So true. Oh, that was really good. I love that you shared that. Thank you.
No, thank you for asking me good questions.
Oh my gosh. You're so welcome. You're welcome. This is my last question for you. It's a question that I ask all of my guests when they come on the show. And it's, how can someone create a little more happiness in their day every day starting today?
Oh, what a beautiful question.
Thanks.
I would say text three people that mean the world to you, and make sure that the message comes from your heart and is longer than is a paragraph. You know, and tell them what it is that you love about them. What is it? And not like, oh, I love the fact that your hair is so long. Like, go into their core. Like, why have you got this best friend that you've been best friends for 10 years? Like, what is it about them that's kept you there the whole time whilst you've grown up? Like, and let them know that. And even without them responding, you will feel good, I promise you. But then guess what? You give love. Guess what it's going to do? Come straight back to you. And that person's going to be like, that is so nice of you, you know, Simona. I love all these qualities. I love the fact that actually you speak about what's on your heart, and it shows me that you have courage. And it's like, you get that message back and you're like, oh, what? And then the rest of your day, like, you're buzzing because you've just texted three people a very simple but beautiful message.
I love that. Nobody's ever said that before.
Have they not? No. Boom.
In all episodes, nobody's ever said that before. I love that.
Oh, my pleasure. Again, beautiful. It's not mine. It's recycled, but
That's okay. Most things are. It's just how you adapt them. And, you know, I shouldn't say that. But, I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. Like everything can have been done in the past, but no one will do it the way that you do it. Right. Like no one will deliver that message the way that you're going to deliver it. Right.
Yeah. And I'm happy. This is what I love doing. And on my lunch break, I watch videos on consciousness, awareness, there's quantum physics behind all this stuff, because I love it. So it's not my stuff that I learn, but I want to teach it to others. So I don't really care where it comes from. You know, I'm not a scientist, but I'll take the information, I absorb it because I love it, and I'll give it to your audience or whoever I'm speaking to. So
exactly. And I love that so much. Kay, where can our listeners find you? Because I know they're going to want to learn more.
So you can just find me on Instagram. It's at one Jack McCloskey, which is just number one, which makes sense. JACKMCCLOSKEY. You can also find me on TikTok with the same username. And TikTok's kind of fun. If you want to see me make a fool of myself, then go on there.
I can't wait. I'm going to go check it out.
You should. It is funny. You've got a mix of like these deep, profound wisdom that I have, but also this like Afrobeat dancing kind of dude that I am, and funny things like that. So,
oh my God, I love that. Amazing.
Oh no, that's it. Yeah.
I love it. I'll hyperlink all of that in the show notes so that everyone can find you really easily.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Wow. Thank you so much for coming on today. This was so fun. Can you believe how quickly that went by?
How long has it been? I haven't even.
Like almost an hour.
Oh my word.
It's
crazy when you have in-depth conversations about the real stuff, how quick that can go. So thank you so much for having me and asking me all these amazing questions and setting me up with a free ball in soccer, and all I have to do is flick it into the top corner.
I love that so much. You're so welcome. Thank you. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode on the podcast. If you love this one, be sure to share it with us on social media. Take a screenshot, tag us, let us know you're listening. Yeah. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you loved,
100%.
What you loved the most. And honestly, I mean, don't forget to rate and review the show. It's so important. It means so much to me. I'm so grateful that you're here and that you come back every single week. Thank you so much. And have a beautiful week. Remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.
Thanks so much for being here today. I hope these words have brought you inspiration, insight, and a bit more happiness. Please leave a comment or a review if this episode resonates with you. I would be so grateful. Until next time, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.